Well, I'm glad we can tell it to the Lord, and I'm glad we have friends we can tell things to, but nothing like telling it to the Lord. He can do something about it, and He can help us and give us peace of heart, peace of mind, and help us to get along in our our life that He has given to us. My doctor said I would be okay to do this, and so I thought I would try it. It might not be very long, but we're going to try to get these things and try to get things back in order. The talking is much better than it was, much easier than it was before the procedure. I sound very hoarse. Sound like I just got out of bed. That's how I explain it. But he said that would clear up, and I go Friday back to him and talk to him. And so I'm thankful that able to get that accomplished. I did try to sing a little bit tonight. That didn't sound right at all. And I stuck my finger in my ear and said, nah, I don't want to hear that myself. And so that didn't work, but it'll come back too. And so we praise the Lord for what He does. Today, of course, we are celebrating our nation's birthday. I read somewhere today, I was doing some research and looking about some things, and I don't know how true it is, but I don't know of any other nation that maybe has what we have. But the statement was that America is the only country in the world that has a birthday. Now, I know there's nations that started at different times, but we have a date on the calendar where things were signed and declared, and we have that, and we celebrate that every year, the 4th of July. And so we are free, and thank God for the freedom that we have. And I've always enjoyed the 4th. As far as all the holidays, I believe it's a very special holiday that we have, and that we can remember what the Lord's done for us and thank God for the freedoms and the liberties that so many people do not have tonight. And some of these folks that are in our country that would like to change our country to be like others, I just wish they would go there and experience the other places. They might change their mind if they had to live under that. But we have freedom. We have liberty. And the Lord has blessed us with that. And tonight in John chapter number 8, I'm going to read just a few verses. John chapter 8, verse 31. And this liberty that John is writing about is a liberty of salvation, a liberty of what we have in Christ spiritually. And so we'll read these verses, and then we'll make some application concerning our celebration today and the things that are involved in that. In John chapter 8, verse number 31. John chapter 8, verse 31 says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, We be Abraham's seed, we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I think it's very strange tonight as we read this particular passage that these folks that were following the Lord Jesus Christ, they said here they were disciples, and the Lord said, if you continue in My words, or if you continue with Me, you shall be disciples indeed, free indeed. And it's an interesting statement they give back to the Lord. They said, we have never been in bondage to any man. Well, I wonder what happened to their memory concerning Egypt and concerning Babylon and concerning so many other countries. Israel and the Jewish people, their history is spotted with many times of being in bondage. And, of course, Jesus wasn't talking about the bondage of people. He was talking about the bondage of sin. And he told them, he said, he says, I verily say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin, or in bondage to that sin. And so today we are celebrating America's 242nd birthday. I can remember, doesn't seem as long as it really is, when we were celebrating the 200th birthday, the bicentennial or the centennial of our country's 200th birthday in 1976. Amy is a centennial child, and so we always remember her age along with the, we just dropped the 200, and that's her age, and so we have no trouble remembering those things. But America tonight is, with all of her problems, with all her difficulties, and we are burdened down by, and we are under bondage of sin. America is still the greatest place on earth to live. I don't know of anywhere I'd want to live other than here. I don't know any other country that I'd want to be a part of. I was reading some testimonies last night of people that had become citizens of this nation, and they were so very thankful about that. They were thankful that they could be in this country and be a part of this nation, even though they are from another country, even though they may be a part of their early years were in another country, but now they're in America, and they apply for citizenship and did all that and went through that and are very thankful for what the Lord has given them. And so America is a great country. I remember, and many of you remember, the Berlin Wall. That wall was to keep people inside the Eastern Bloc or in the East Berlin, because people in the East, the communist side, they wanted to get out to have freedom. So they built a wall to keep people in their eastern part of the city of Berlin. Same way, such strict rules on East and West Germany, and strict rules today for North and South Korea. It's the people that are under bondage that want to get out of that bondage and have freedom. And God has blessed us. We were born in a country that we really don't think about that particular part of life. We've never had anyone put us under bondage as far as our country is concerned. And so we take those things, I really don't want to say we take them for granted, but they are so common to us that we sometimes don't notice what we do have. And I'm glad for history that has recorded to us a number of things that have taken place that to give us the blessings that we have tonight. If you talk to the world and peoples of the world, you'll find that they think America is a utopia. People in Africa think all Americans are rich, and probably the poorest American is rich in comparison to some of those folks. And so we do have an abundance of things. And I pray God would never allow us to forget His blessings that have been upon us as citizens of this country. We have a liberty in law. We have a liberty tonight that we have laws to go by. And we see that being attacked everywhere, every direction. I was reading about some demonstrations in one of the larger cities of our country. They were chanting, no borders, no rules, no laws. And that's anarchy. That is not liberty. That is not freedom. That is being put under bondage. And so there are many people that are rejecting that and do not want the laws to be upheld. But we have liberty tonight because we have laws in our country. We have spiritual blessings. We have spiritual liberties tonight because we have the Word of God before us. We have the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And so we have spiritual blessings. We all have personal blessings, things that God has done for us. We have houses to live in. We have clothes to wear. We have enough to eat. We have more than enough to eat. We're always cutting back because we do too much of that. And so we are blessed beyond measure. America is a good land. We have money to spend, and we have places to spend it. And we dwell in, for the most part, we dwell in safety. And we dwell in security. America's a good, fruitful, beautiful land. It's a bountiful land. It's a land of freedom. And so when we come to this holiday, that's what we deal with. That's what we talk about, what we think about. But our freedoms have come at a very high price. To be able to sit here tonight and not be fearful that someone would come in this room and some government official and say, we can't do what we do. To be able to have that in our possession physically has cost many, many lives and many goods, many things. And America, I believe, was started correctly. I believe it was started right. I believe it started on the foundation of the Word of God. If you read the preambles of every state of this nation, every preamble has a statement about God, our Creator, not just a being out there, not just a super person, but talks about an almighty God. And so our nation has been founded upon that and has certainly been given to us over the period of years. I've got a recording I want to share. It's just about 7 or 8 minutes long. And we know about Patrick Henry and his great speech. And about the only thing we know about that is that he said, give me liberty or give me death. There's a whole lot more to his speech than that. I was reading this afternoon. Patrick Henry wasn't a very forceful man. He wasn't very outgoing. He was sort of shy. But when it come to this particular time of this this statement, he became very convinced of what the country was facing, and the speech was made in March the 28th, 1775, right before the Revolutionary War broke out. And really, his words probably is what put the goal in going to war and standing for liberty. And so I recorded this afternoon a fellow reading that. And just as you listen, think about how many references are made to the Scripture. Now, he doesn't quote any Scripture. He doesn't give Scripture and verse. But we know the Bible well enough, we can recognize what he is saying, that it comes from the Word of God. And, of course, he ends the speech with give me liberty or give me death. And so, Sharon, if you would, just play that. It's about 7 minutes long, and then we'll have a few words of the message.
Delivered before the Virginia Convention of Delegates by Patrick Henry on March 28, 1775. Mr. President, no man thinks more highly than I do of the patriotism as well as abilities of the very worthy gentleman who have just addressed the House. But different men often see the same subject in different lights. And therefore, I hope that it will not be thought disrespectful to those gentlemen if, entertaining as I do opinions of a character very opposite to theirs, I shall speak forth my sentiments freely and without reserve. This is no time for ceremony. The question before the House is one of awful moment to this country. For my own part, I consider it as nothing less than a question of freedom or slavery, and in proportion to the magnitude of the subject ought to be the freedom of the debate. It is only in this way that we can hope to arrive at truth and fulfill the great responsibility which we hold to God and our country. Should I keep back my opinions at such a time through fear of giving offense, I should consider myself as guilty of treason towards my country and of an act of disloyalty towards the majesty of heaven, which I revere above all earthly kings. Mr. President, it is natural to man to indulge in the illusions of hope. We are apt to shut our eyes against a painful truth and listen to the song of that siren till she transforms us into beasts. Is this the part of wise men engaged in a great and arduous struggle for liberty? Are we disposed to be of the number of those who, having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear not the things which so nearly concern their temporal salvation? For my part, whatever anguish of spirit it may cost, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it. I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know of no way of judging of the future but by the past. And judging by the past, I wish to know what there has been in the conduct of the British ministry for the last 10 years to justify those hopes with which gentlemen have been pleased to solace themselves and the House. Is it that insidious smile with which our petition has been lately received? Trust it not, sir. It will prove a snare to your feet. Suffer not yourselves to be betrayed with a kiss. Ask yourselves how this gracious reception of our petition comports with these warlike preparations which cover our waters and darken our land. Are fleets and armies necessary to a work of love and reconciliation? Have we shown ourselves so unwilling to be reconciled that force must be called in to win back our love? Let us not deceive ourselves, sir. These are the implements of war and subjugation, the last arguments to which kings resort. I ask, gentlemen, sir, what means this martial array if its purpose be not to force us to submission? Can gentlemen assign any other possible motives for it? Has Great Britain any enemy in this quarter of the world to call for all this accumulation of navies and armies? No, sir, she has none. They are meant for us. They can be meant for no other. They are sent over to bind and rivet upon us those chains which the British ministry have been so long forging. And what have we to oppose to them? Shall we try argument? Sir, we have been trying that for the last 10 years. Have we anything new to offer on the subject? Nothing. We have held the subject up in every light of which it is capable, but it has been all in vain. Shall we resort to entreaty and humble supplication? What terms shall we find which have not been already exhausted? Let us not, I beseech you, sir, deceive ourselves longer. Sir, we have done everything that could be done to avert the storm which is now coming on. We have petitioned. We have remonstrated. We have supplicated. We have prostrated ourselves before the throne and have implored its interposition to arrest the tyrannical hands of the ministry and parliament. Our petitions have been slighted. Our remonstrances have produced additional violence and insult. Our supplications have been disregarded, and we have been spurned with contempt from the foot of the throne. In vain, after these things, may we indulge the fond hope of peace and reconciliation. There is no longer any room for hope. If we wish to be free, if we mean to preserve inviolate those inestimable privileges for which we have been so long contending, if we mean not basely to abandon the noble struggle in which we have been so long engaged, and which we have pledged ourselves never to abandon until the glorious object of our contest shall be attained, we must fight. I repeat it, sir. We must fight! An appeal to arms and to the God of hosts is all that is left us. They tell us, sir, that we are weak, unable to cope with so formidable an adversary. But when shall we be stronger? Will it be the next week or the next year? Will it be when we are totally disarmed and when a British guard shall be stationed in every house? Shall we gather strength by irresolution and inaction? Shall we acquire the means of effectual resistance by lying supinely on our backs and hugging the delusive phantom of hope until our enemies shall have bound us hand and foot? Sir, we are not weak if we make a proper use
of the means which the God of nature hath placed in our power. 3 millions of people armed in the holy cause of liberty, and in such a country as that which we possess, are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sir, we have no election. If we were base enough to desire it, it is now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat, but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable. And let it come. I repeat it, sir. Let it come. It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take. But as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Well, I would say that was a call to arms, 1775, and shortly after that, the war began. It was already started. He said, our brethren are in the field. And if you read history, you'll find that many of those brethren that were already in the field were many of them Baptist preachers and Baptist people fighting for individual rights, individual freedoms, and thank the Lord for that. So we're free. Free tonight because many have been willing to stand and to give even their life for the liberties that we hold dear tonight. But in our verses, and I'm just going to go through these very quickly, in our verses tonight, we find that our text tells us two times that we are free. In verse number 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And really and truly, that's the liberty or the freedom that we have in conversion. We'll never know freedom, even in this country. A person never truly is free until they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It doesn't matter how patriotic a person is, if they know not the Lord, they're still in bondage. Doesn't matter how many times folks fight for us and stand for us, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a freedom that's far greater than the national freedom that we have in our country. So we have freedom in conversion. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And thank God for that liberty. Then in verse number 31 and verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that's a continuance of freedom. To know the truth, to know not just truth of salvation, but to know truth will give us a continual process in our life, in our personal walk with the Lord. We will grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we will have that freedom. Our Lord, in these verses, were addressing the Jews that we mentioned a while ago, that they believed on him, they followed him, but yet they did not understand all the underlying thoughts concerning freedom. And so he is giving them a freedom of salvation, a freedom of learning. And so thank the Lord that we have a salvation that makes us free. We're not bound by sin. We're not bound by Satan. Really, the only thing we're bound by many times is our own self. But one of these days that'll be taken care of too, and we'll be out of the very, very presence of the law. There are just six or seven things here, and I'm just going to read them to you because that's about all I can do here tonight. We have freedom and salvation makes us free from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is what? We die. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But when we get saved, thank God, liberty comes, salvation comes, and we're no longer under that curse of dying without God because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangs on a tree. Now, the Jews were strong believers in Moses and the law and all the things but they were very ignorant of the grace of the Lord. They wanted to keep the law. They wanted to do all the principles and wanted to follow it exactly. That's what the Pharisees were guilty of. But thank God tonight we're under grace and we're saved, and we are no longer under the curse of the law of dying without God and without hope. We have liberty in Christ. In Romans chapter number 8, verse 31 through 33, we find that salvation will free us from the guilt of sin. Romans 8, 31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God's for us, who or what can be against us? The Bible goes on and says, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And so tonight we're no longer, the devil can accuse us. The devil can bring memories back to us. And he can make sure we worry about past life. But those things have been forgiven. And the curse of the law and the guilt of sin is no longer there, and we're not under the dominion of sin. It shall no longer have dominion over you. According to Romans chapter 6, verse 14, he says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Thank the Lord for grace tonight. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, he looks, and by grace he forgives us. Now, if he'd have followed the law to the letter that it was given, there was no grace in law. There was no forgiving in law. Law was cut 1, 2, 3, guilty or not guilty. But under the grace of God, he sees us guilty, but he forgives us. And so therefore, we're not under the dominion of sin or from the power of darkness. We're no longer under that. We've been delivered from that. Salvation gives us freedom from that. So many people today are under a lot of different powers of darkness. They're under Satan, they're under perversion, they're enslaved by everything the world has to offer. But you and I tonight, we're free indeed. Salvation makes us free from the darkness of the wicked one. He says in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you. We were all in that condition. But then he says, but ye are washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so we have liberty tonight, not just in a nation, thank God for that, but we have a greater liberty, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to fear what men think or what men say, what men feel about us. We know that we can come boldly to the Lord and ask for help. And the Bible says that we can come boldly and say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 6. So salvation, the free indeed, that word indeed puts an exclamation point on freedom. We are no longer under bondage. We're no longer under sin. We're no longer under dominion, no longer under darkness, no longer under the guilt of sin. And one of these days we'll be delivered from the sting of death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? There in 1 Corinthians 15. And so one of these days, salvation is going to free us from the sting of death. And we're all dying. We're all going through that process. As we live, we die. And every once in a while, it stings us pretty hard. Every once in a while, it comes at us very, very openly and sometimes very aggressively. But thank God there's a day coming because of my salvation. The sting of death will be gone. The power of the grave will be gone. The body will be resurrected from the grave and will be set free. First Thessalonians chapter number 4. Paul says, I've not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that sorrow not even others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. There's the coming of our Lord. And so we are free from this present evil world. And one of these days we'll be delivered. Verse 16 says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Doesn't stop there. One more verse. Paul says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I'm glad tonight salvation sets us free. Free physically, free spiritually, free of all the whims of this world, and free from the evilness of the world that we live in. And one of these days he's going to descend, and we're going to hear the sound, and we're going to go up to be with the Lord, and we will certainly be free indeed. Thank God not for July the 4th. No other country in the world, when they say July the 4th, they don't think a thing about it. But we talk about the 4th, and we know what it represents. We know what it means. It means we have liberty tonight. And our country, as much problem as we have, we still have our freedom. And it was because of men like what we heard just a little bit of the speech. Orson Welles did pretty good on that. He was the one reading that, and I listened to three or four different ones this afternoon, and even had had clips of a movie that I really would like to have done that, because that was really good with him, and could see the enactment of the speech. But because of men like that and our founding fathers, we're here tonight, not fearful. Because of our armed forces around the world tonight, that protects our freedoms that we have, because this world would do away with them if they could. The world and the population and the governments of the world are very jealous of what America has. But thank God for those that gave us the freedom through the work of the Lord, and thank God for those that protect that freedom tonight all around the world in our armed forces. So thank God for America, and thank God for our freedom we have in our salvation. Let's stand together and we'll